Welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show, episode 346. I am Chris, as always, joined by Tony.
My beer sucks.
Your beer sucks? I'm sorry. You should get a good beer.
It's supposed to be a good beer.
Jeff is here as well.
My beer flows.
Tony probably thinks your beer sucks too, but
probably sucks.
Probably. Well, right now, a little something.
A little something.
Lagunitas. Yeah, but it'll soon be Miller Lite.
So your beer doesn't currently suck, but soon it will.
But it will suck. And Pete is here as well.
I don't have a beer.
Beer sucks.
I actually don't like beer. I think all beer sucks.
What? So. Oh.
But
you're off the podcast. You're out.
I like rum.
Rum.
Rum's all right.
Yeah.
Rum isn't meh. Yeah. You can't really like sit around and drink. Here's my glass of rum.
No, you gotta cut it with like soda or something. But
see that's a sign of weakness. If you're like, I like whiskey or bourbon, all right, I'd be fine with that.
That stuff's okay. I can have a very limited amount of that stuff, though.
You'll drink whiskey straight?
You can stay, you have to go get a glass of bourbon.
No, that involves breaking into my dad's stash, and I'm just not going to touch that.
That's probably a good idea. No.
Yeah. Wait, all right, well, let me ask you guys then. If you drink whiskey, do you do it neat or on the rocks?
Both.
Neat.
No. So the best way to drink a really good whiskey, you want it to be a little chilled. So if you get one of those glasses that you can put the ice inside so that it doesn't mix with the whiskey, that's the best way to go.
Yeah, you get it. They sell like whiskey discs and shit too. Like you just like a little puck you can freeze.
So it's like a what's it like a plastic ball?
It looks like a little puck, like a little hockey puck.
Now,
freeze it in your freezer
in emergency
and throw it in.
Situations, it is permissible to put one cube of ice into your whiskey, but only in emergencies.
I drink it warm. I don't know. Maybe I should try it. I never really tried it with ice. So
it's better with ice. It's better chilled. It's not like cold, but slightly chilled.
Maybe I'll try it on this podcast. I'll give you a review.
All right. I guess it's better than Miller Lite. So.
Anything is better than Miller Lite.
Exactly.
Well, no, because Bud Light's not better than Miller Lite.
So. Okay.
I mean, there are worse beers than Miller Lite. They're all the same lower class.
Milwaukee's best light. Okay.
Yes. Right. Yes. Like that. I mean, we're not going to elevate Miller Lite to a place of honor, but. So I guess some stuff happened this week, but I guess we should talk about what we've been playing, if we've been playing anything new. Tony, did you play For Honor?
I played the beta.
Okay.
How was that? I guess the game came out this week.
It came out on Tuesday. So
people have been freaking out, and I mean that in the best way possible.
There are people who are really excited for this game. I was not excited for it at all, but there was a beta and it was different, so I decided to try it. It reminded me a lot of if you were to take Titanfall and make it a game about melee combat in the Middle Ages.
Is that a compliment?
So basically, you have two 4-on-4 teams battling over. They're fighting each other, but there are also all these like little AI guys. There's kind of this battle going back and forth, and you can actually get involved and start killing the AI guys. And compared to them, you're a god. Much like in Titanfall, they can't really do a whole lot to you. Like, they can hurt you a little bit, but it's the other players who can actually kill you. But they're fighting over the points, and basically the point is to get your score up to 1,000. When you get your score up to 1,000, then the other team can't respawn anymore. And then at that point, you have to kill them all and then win the game. They're kind of a unique idea. The combat takes some getting used to. I have never played a melee combat game with this much polish. Like I played Chivalry when it came out.
Right.
That game I had a lot of fun with. This is different from that. The controls are a lot different. You're basically you can hold your weapon to the right side or the left side or up, and you can only attack or block in that particular spot. So basically, you're in like a game of rock, paper, scissors with whatever.
Yeah, I was just going
to
say.
Next to, depending on where, who could put their weapon in the right spot to hit the enemy. And
huh.
Sounds neat.
That actually sounds pretty nice.
How quick, how easy is it to switch? Like, if you see somebody coming in on the left, but you're holding up on
oh,
the,
no, you
on
can,
the
it's,
up.
It's can just you... your thumbstick. You could just switch.
Okay. So, like, so, you can have an instant reaction time and still block.
Oh, yeah. No, okay. it definitely, I think with more practice, I would have been better at it.
Right.
I found it much easier to just, you know, hit people in the back.
Sure. And, like, that combat system, I see that, and I think it would make the most amazing Star Wars combat.
It's yeah, it would probably fit really well for that system. I guess it was kind of weird coming from Chivalry, where you could play as whatever you wanted, like an archer. Like, everybody here is a swordsman or an act. Like, it's all hand-to-hand melee combat.
It's what, Vikings, knights?
There's Vikings, samurais. Samurai.
And now, are they all basically the same classes? Like, is there just, like, an analog?
They have, like, heroes, so they're all kind of slightly different.
Okay.
Obviously, I didn't get a chance to play as all the classes.
Who did you play as?
I played as a big Viking dude.
Nice.
With a huge axe.
Do they have shield maidens in it, or is it just like big, like barbarian?
You know, I don't remember seeing any female characters.
That's unfortunate. Like, because like the Vikings, like historically, not that historical accuracy has anything to do with this game, but were like a big contingent of their warriors. So I think that would be, hopefully for DLC, that'd be pretty cool.
Yeah, we'll see. Hopefully one
day. Do you like take a character and build it up over time? Is there any sort of like
RPG
element?
Yeah, so you level up over time, and when you level up, you get earn stuff. You can also earn money through your matches, and you can use that money to buy like random loot kit. And they're like for my big dude with his big axe, it was like I could get shafts or like a new axe head or a new pommel for my axe, or like a cool new helmet or whatever. So you basically, you know, design your character based on what you've earned. And they do have, it's not just aesthetic. The loot does have actual effects.
Oh, that's cool.
Only.
So there is a the demo was multiplayer only, but there is a short single player campaign, which I've been reading a lot. People have been enjoying.
It sounds like a glorified tutorial. Like I mean, like it's cool and fun and dumb, but
like the more I read about it, it sounds a lot like the campaign in Rise. If you play
okay.
That game. It's very linear. It's focused on, you know, like from one area to another where you kill people, but
right.
Rise is very entertaining. So
yeah,
you've only played the beta, but like, do you choose which character you play? Like, are there three campaigns, or does it alternate?
Three campaigns.
Okay, one for each faction.
Yeah, so this sounds like a game I might want to pick up later. Like, I'd like to at least try out that single player campaign because I did like Rise. So.
I enjoyed. Enjoyed what I played at the beta. I don't think it definitely wasn't worth a $60 game for me.
Yeah, it sounds like a good $30. Like a Steam summer sale.
Right.
And maybe sometime after Mass Effect, I'll have some time for it.
Mm. Yes.
And by then, it'll probably be on sale. So.
True.
All right. You play anything else, Tony? I know you've been playing more Assassin's Creed, but
yes, in fact, I'm playing Assassin's Creed right now. I will say this game, I am now getting used to the combat. It has a lot of similarity to Batman Arkham
Asylum.
The whole like counter attack stun, like the way you whip around and when you're surrounded by enemies, like it's very, very similar.
Yeah, and when I think they made it like now, it's like the guys kind of glow now, I guess, when you, so like I always thought it was, I thought that Batman kind of ripped off the Assassin's Creed combat, but they gave you more tells in there, and this seems to be even cycling back on the Batman stuff. So
yeah.
They refined their own combat. It's fun, though. I enjoyed it. All right, Pete, you been playing anything?
That depends. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, because my screen froze and I wasn't sure if it took everything out. I played.
Now.
I played Fire Emblem Heroes.
That the iOS Android game?
Yeah, and it is a free-to-play game. Like, I mean, there are like 3-4 different currencies, and there's a stamina meter, though the stamina replenishes every 5 minutes, so I don't exactly understand its purpose. And, you know, you buy... The heroes are awarded to you out of random chance, and stuff like that. But besides that, it's like a really simple strategy game. And even that is giving it too much credit. Like, it has about as much strategy as Rock, Paper, Scissors does. Like, red beats green, which beats blue, which beats red. Like,
And is this... You've played regular Fire Emblem?
No.
Okay. Has anybody played regular Fire Emblem?
Nope.
No.
Right. So I didn't know if that was kind of similar to how it's played in the main game or not.
I'm not sure about that. I do know that it is like a top-down, XCOM-y similar strategy type game. This is just like, hey, you swipe your dudes and you move them around and kill the other guys before they kill you. There is probably some strategy involved in like making sure that you get the guy who can beat the right color in position so that way they can do extra damage or like activating certain special moves. Like you can level up your team as you go and stuff like that. I guess more stuff unlocks once you've got characters at level 20 and higher, but I'm not there yet. I play maybe an hour or two a day, maybe. And I've only been playing for a couple of days.
I mean, that's actually quite a bit for a mobile game, though, so...
I have a lot of free time at work.
He loves his job, though.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
10 out of 10. Good
job. My job is the greatest, let me tell you.
You don't have to. Tony just did.
Yeah. But, yeah, no, I mean, it's serviceable. Like, I mean, the fun thing is, like, if you have any attachment to the Fire Emblem characters, like, you get to sort of mix and match your team. Like, the game is not broken down by, like, any lore. There's a story, I think, but I just skip all of it because it's just a bunch of text boxes.
Okay.
And it also, I think, requires a lot of prior knowledge of the Fire Emblem series to understand who these characters are and why they are doing what they're doing and stuff, and that's all meaningless to me. It's just, it's a time waster. And I can see where, like, I'm already hitting the point where I either have to grind the training mode or I have to play like super carefully in the story mode in order to progress, or I can just pay to buy a lot of gems to level up my characters faster.
All right.
Yeah, I mean, it's okay, you know? Unfortunately, unlike Mario, like, there's no, like, full version alternative, where you just buy it and then have all the heroes and then just play the game.
Right, it's a mobile game.
Yeah. So, I wonder, did they say that Animal Crossing was the next one, or is that delayed into next year?
I don't know if it was delayed till next year, but it was delayed.
That'll be the first one I'll get.
Yeah.
Like, I have not played any of these other fucking ones except for Pokemon Go, which doesn't even count. But, man, phone, I mean, it's so awesome.
Hey, so speaking of Pokemon Go, they updated it with 80 more Pokemon, and the servers crash, and nobody can play, and it's a general nightmare.
But, when I
so, you know, they learned nothing.
April, actually, I might play it this weekend. It's going to be 65 degrees here, so.
There you go. You get out there, walk around a bit.
Hopefully by then the game can run, because from what, like, I still follow people who still play it somehow, and they are, like, all they're doing is complaining, and they're like, I can't wait for everybody else to get bored with it again so that way the game runs for me.
Well, at the very least, like, if you do decide to play it again in the summer, which I probably will, like, here and there, like, there'll be not just all the same shit to catch, at least.
Right.
Hopefully.
I'm just surprised that they still haven't managed to up their server capacity, or maybe they thought they didn't need to once they had that huge drop-off. Yeah, Firebolt's fun. I mean, if you need a time waster to just, like, play a vague, like, a strategy late game.
Right.
It's fun enough.
All right. Jeff, play anything this week?
Playing is more of Neo, so I kind of get my thoughts on it. Been sticking to it because we got Horizon and Zelda right around the corner, so.
Yeah.
I'm hoping.
Buddy. Oh, that reminds me.
Horizon in 2 weeks.
Yeah, well, I'm hoping to try to finish it, but game's hard, so we'll see.
Jesus, yeah, a week and a half. Holy crap.
Yeah. Tony and I will have Halo Wars in about 30 minutes, so.
Oh, nice.
Dang.
I mean, I don't think I'm going to play it in 30 minutes. But.
No, I don't think it either, but it'll be nice to know that it's there.
Yeah.
Can you guys preload?
I already preloaded it.
Yeah. Oh, nice.
I finished Obi-Wan.
That's right. I want to hear about that.
That game is a garbage pit. It is a dumpster fire of just a super dumpster fire.
Now, was I correct in saying, like, it runs all the way through Phantom Menace, right? It doesn't go into Attack of the Clones. I can't remember when it came out, so I don't remember if it was out before or after.
Was it 2001, so...
Okay, so it would have been beforehand.
So it was actually before Jedi Outcast and Jedi Academy. It was designed as the sequel to Jedi Knight.
That explains so much, actually.
Yes, yeah, so it explains why it's worse than Jedi Outcast. Yeah, it runs, so the first two acts take place before Phantom Menace, and then the final three chapters are, kind of go through the story of Phantom Menace from Obi-Wan's perspective. Things change a lot, like if you've seen those movies, and most people have, what happens in that game, kind of goes against what happens in the movies in some ways, which is a little weird. Like, Obi-Wan has a bigger role than what he does in the movies. But the final boss is Darth Maul, and you fight Darth Maul after he kills Qui-Gon, and you'll fight him in that room with the giant well in it.
Right. You cut him in half and everything.
That's yep. So that game is fairly easy. Like, I mean, it doesn't control very well, but it is fairly easy for the first four chapters. And then they just start throwing tons of enemies at you that can, like, throw explosives, and it becomes frustrating. And the controls aren't really great to begin with. I think I talked about last week where it's a dual analog game, but the camera is free-flowing behind you. Like, you don't have control over the camera. Your right analog stick is your lightsaber. It's your attack stick. And your left analog controls you. So the camera just moves as the game wants it to move, which can often put you in a bad position because it's a 3D game where you don't have full control. And at that put you in really bad spots when they're throwing tons of enemies at you. You have to learn how to block, like, laser bolts coming in and be able to deflect them back. If you can't do that, you will not make it through the game. Because it never actually shows you how to do that in the game. And I got to this point where there was like 17, 18 droids shooting at me at once. And they were just ripping me up. And I was like, what the hell am I doing wrong? And I, like, looked online, and the guy's deflecting them back. And then I opened up the instruction manual. And in the instruction manual, which at this point we are not conditioned to actually read anymore, it does talk about that. but yeah, that game is, like, it's really weird. It has some weird fail states where, like, you have to escort people across the map. But if you get too far ahead, it'll trigger enemies coming before they're supposed to, and they'll end up killing the people you're supposed to escort, and it's an automatic fail. And yeah, it is probably one of the only games that I have, like, raged at in a long time. So I'm glad that game is over. And I don't want to spend too much time on Resident Evil because we've been talking about it for a month now. But I played more of that. I did not finish it like I said I would. And I think I'm actually going to write a piece up for the site about why it's taking me so long. but I think it's mostly because there's... I find the game very good, but I also find that I don't want to play it for a long period of time because it is disturbing.
Stressful, too.
I think that was my problem. How far did you get? How far have you gotten since last week?
I just... So I made it quite far. Like I was only, like, what, an hour and a half or so in when we talked last week. I've now beat the dad. I guess is it the dad? I don't know.
Yep.
Like, I chainsaw fought him. I beat Marguerite.
Okay.
Which that... She is the most terrifying
monster
character. Oh, my God. She is terrifying. And she has the best jump scares in that game.
Yeah.
She's probably my favorite villain in that game.
Yeah. Because the dad wasn't, like, he's just annoying. Like,
right, he's one of those guys who, like, when he sees you, your main character cannot run faster than him, and so he will always catch you. And so I would just, like, let him kill me so I can start back over and just...
Yeah, he's just annoying, like... And yeah, that's something, like, because you're not fast, like, it's always, it's just this disturbing, like, I want to run away, and he's so slow.
For a guy who is scared out of his mind, man, Ethan is, like, the slowest runner I've ever seen in a horror game.
You know what's crazy? When you turn on VR, you could adjust his movement speed to make it faster.
Huh.
Oh, that's insane.
Yeah.
So playing through the part with Marguerite, I never want to play that game, and like I don't know if I want to play VR or not, but I don't want to play that game in VR because there's that point when you do the puzzle and it unlocks the door to get to the other side of the house, and you go through that hallway,
the kids' room.
Well, no, it's not even like you go. It's not the hallway, but it's like the crawl space with the bugs.
Yeah.
Oh my! Like just the noise, like the. The sound design in this game is phenomenal, but like,
excuse me,
with that on my head and walking through, no, I've been saying that since the start of this game. This game is a whole bunch of nope. Like right from the beginning, Ethan should have turned around and went, you know what? My wife's been missing for 3 years. Fuck it, I'm going home. Like, there's plenty more women out there. No, like this whole game, no.
Also, that moment in the crevice is like one of four moments where he reacts to anything going on in that game.
Yeah.
Like, he doesn't say a word except for when he, like, asks about the doors and then the bugs, and he's like, ah, oh, fuck, whatever.
Yes.
And
yeah, oh.
No, what...
Bugs are creepy.
So you went through the kids' room, and that's where I hit a couple of points where I was just, like, not having it.
Yeah, it gets, like, a completely dark, and the kid talks to you, and, oh.
Oh, my God. The ball bouncing out of nowhere? Yeah. Nope.
There is some great design to the game. Like, and on some level, it does very much feel like the original Resident Evil, where there's not a lot of combat, at least. I haven't felt there's a ton of combat. There's combat, but it's not... Like, there are definitely stretches where there's nothing to fight, and...
Yeah.
You're just exploring this creepy ass house, and around any corner, you know something could be there, but it does a really good job of building that tension. And that's made me not want to play it for extended periods of time. It's like, so, I need to go do something else.
So you're now at the sun. Have you done any of the puzzle stuff with?
I just did the birthday tape.
Oh, the tape. Okay.
Yeah, so that's where I stopped.
So I will say that I had pretty much the same amount of issue as you did, like, with fatigue, and I think of just, like, the anxiety it was causing my body. But it becomes, it's so much a breeze. Like, once you leave the house and that area and you go into the puzzle, that there's, like, 2 hours of game left, and it's so easy.
I figure that the game, well, at least I'm getting out of the house area because the doors in the house, I have the final key. The snake key, so like there doesn't seem like there's anything else for me to unlock in the house.
No. Do you have the grenade launcher and stuff? Like,
yeah.
Then, yeah, I mean, that's... And you...
Yeah, I think there was like one room in the house where you.
Yeah, there's his bedroom and the master bedroom are the only two doors with the snake key. So if you have the key cards, then you're fine.
What are the key cards?
Okay, so you haven't gone. Okay, so you've done the tape. Now you need to go get the blue and red key card in order to get.
Oh, the door on the side of the okay.
There's like a gate outside. Yeah,
next to the trailer.
Yep, right, yep. And so the snake key unlocks the doors that have those key cards in the back of the main house. So I do think the level design in like the first 3/4 of the game is genius. How it like loops you.
Oh yeah, it's the, really, like, really smart. Like
all through the areas of the house and stuff, and it's.
Like even like so like you drop down to get the lantern in the old house, and that tunnel loops to the well behind the trailer, and like it's great. Like the entire thing like is very smartly designed.
The game is so good.
I like that it feels like an actual Resident. Like it feels like the original Resident Evil in a lot of ways.
Yep.
Yeah.
There's some goofiness to it. But it's definitely like it just seems really good. So
it was in NPD's top 10. It was number 1.
Yeah, both. So I guess we can jump right in the news.
Oh well, no, I just since it was topical, I just thought.
That, I mean that was all I've been playing. So
I'm just happy that we all like it, right, Tony?
Sure.
We all like it.
Great. It's awesome. Doesn't sound like a Tony game.
It's the best Resident Evil game I have never played.
Describe Marguerite to Tony.
I think you've done a pretty good job of that already, Jeff.
Yeah, Tony glosses over when we talk about Resident Evil.
It's only fair.
She's got a pussy monster, dude. There's a monster coming out of her pussy.
It's like a beehive.
Isn't that normal?
So gross.
she is. Oh, the monster design is pretty good, especially on them.
It's weird that they for like all the monsters they used to have in the old games, it's a little weird that they decided to just go with like three types of molded.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah,
like I mean, I get they're trying to like get away because it's a different virus and all this stuff, but like. At some point, you're like, all right, well, this is the fast one, this is the fat one. You haven't gotten to one of those yet, Chris, but you will. Those things are just pains in the ass. And then there are the normal ones who occasionally will have a really big arm that hurts a lot more.
Yeah, I ran into one of them. Do you mean by the fast ones the ones that crawl like they're on like the? But yeah, I did run into one of them when I went back into the basement.
Yeah. Oh well, no, I mean there are fat ones that are like like twice the size of the ones that stand, and those things. Pain in the asses.
So they're not fast. They're fat.
Yeah, they're about twice the size of the normal ones. They're slow, but they can like spew bile at you and stuff. So
yeah.
But as Pete mentioned, Resident Evil was the best-selling game in January.
Well deserved.
Yeah.
Welcome back.
On both systems, too.
I'm not gonna lie. I never played Resident Evil 6. This actually makes me want to go back and like complete the loop. And I know the game is like $5 now, and it's still like a really bad idea. But I feel bad having played 5 and never going into 6.
I
mean, it's not bad for $5.
Well, I mean, it's bad no matter what you pay, Jeff. But yes, $5.
It's a lot of game for $5.
Yeah, it's 30 hours long. Like it is a long ass game. So like if you're just looking for something to spend $5 on and waste 30 hours, then that's good good thing.
I mean, no, even when Resident Evil was at its worst, it was still playable, dude. Like, you know, I didn't think Resident Evil 6 was good at all, but you know, if you're into that style of Resident Evil, for $5, it's okay.
Sure. I'll still stand by it's a bad game.
But. Oh, I have no doubt. I mean, totally.
Resident Evil 7 was the top-selling game. And Pete, what you sent me seems to be like the total for all of them. But
it's not broken up by console. I think
I saw a split out. Somebody posted a split of Xboxes and PlayStation 4's top 10, and Resident Evil 7 was at the top for both. So
that's good.
Interesting on this list, though, is Grand Theft Auto 5 was the number 3 selling game January.
I mean, mod toys were released sometime last year, right? And I bet you that's contributed to a lot of PC sales. But otherwise, I can't believe people are still buying that game. Good lord!
Right, and I mean, it's not just on PC. Like, they're buying it on console too, because like, it was pretty high on the individual console list that I saw. So.
Doesn't everybody own that game by now?
Right.
Like, I mean, you would think everybody owns it at this point.
You think at some point they run out of people to sell it to? Like,
right.
But yeah, that's the other one that I found interesting on here was Kingdom Hearts 2.8 was at number 6.
It's because of that like 3-hour like chapter that leads into
right. Kingdom Hearts 3. I found that interesting that it charted so high, because it really is just a 3-hour like prologue piece for the new game.
And I mean the game series is still wildly popular, right? I mean, that's why they've made like 800 spinoffs. So, but, and I guess since this isn't like the remakes, like I doubt the remasters next month will chart, but this is like new content.
Yep. Well, I am looking forward to those remasters.
I am too. I don't know when I'm ever going to play them, because they come out the same day as Horizon, and then they.
No, Horizon comes out this month. They come out at the end of March.
Oh, they're end of March? Oh, okay. So maybe by then, because I'll be done with Horizon and Mass Effect. So.
Yeah. Crash Bandicoot's Insane Trilogy is coming.
Yeah, buddy.
Changes everything.
Yeah. It changes everything.
June 30th. I thought that they had said it was the end of this year. So, like, last they had said it was, that's when they were targeting. So for it to
maybe
be the
they know something
year,
we don't.
No, I think they just. I don't think they specified it.
No, okay. Maybe I just
say the Russians take over.
bearing the sigil of the Bandicoot.
that's how they're going to do it. They're going to stand outside the White House, like remember those commercials back when Crash was the mascot, and he would stand outside Sega and Nintendo.
Yeah.
Oh God, I wish that companies make commercials like that still. Those were
special. They should do one for this fucking whatever you want to call it.
I'm just, honestly just surprised
outside the Microsoft office.
Yeah. Honestly surprised that nobody has tried to make an article about where the guy who was Crash Bandicoot is today. Like, that just seems like some like kitschy culture article you would see on Polygon or something, like the man who used to be the Bandicoot.
You should pitch it to him.
I would love to if I could track that guy down.
I say we do it.
The price on this seems a little high to me, though. It's $40
for 3 games, like with remade like I think it is.
That's not too high.
Like,
that's
it's
fine.
Like they redid all the graphics. They've added new levels, time trials. Like the first game's obviously gotten the most work because it had the least amount of features. So that has
right
checkpoints and a save system because it ran on a password system. When it first came out.
Yeah, so maybe that's a little... I don't know. Like,
they remastered the soundtrack, whatever that means. I guess they just maybe literally remastered it. Yeah, it offers redone lighting, animations, newly recreated... I can't say the word cinematics.
Cinematics.
And support for PS Pro.
I don't know. That might be one I wait for it to hit $20 later
right.
on.
And I understand, like, if you're not, like, if you didn't grow up with
Crash
Bandicoot like I did, like, this is totally meaningless, and then, like, $40 probably seems way too much, but that's going to be my summer highlight.
There you go. I mean...
I don't like those games, but my girlfriend does, so I'm getting it.
All right. Nintendo, I don't know exactly how this leaked out, but the operating system for the Switch, there are images out there.
Some dude got his pre-order 2 weeks ahead of...
From Nintendo or...
Or Amazon or something. I don't know. There was a Gap thread.
Somebody accidentally sent it out, huh? Like... There's some images of system settings, like user icons... looks like you can do a black or a white background. It looks like a clean, kind of like a standard tablet interface. So,
right. Which I guess, considering how much screen real estate they have, they probably can't because like the Wii U had a different UI depending on if you were on the controller or on the TV.
Right.
I imagine they can't necessarily make it so different this time.
Well, yeah, I would think that you, because like you're plugging it in, like you need to be able to just pull it out and it'd be the same thing, right? Like,
yeah.
So, I don't know. It looks nice enough, I guess. I'm not like blown away by it, but.
Right. It's not a very revolutionary looking AI.
Yeah.
It looks like
my Kindle Fire. Like,
yeah.
Really, like in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
Pete, you sent this one over as well. Bethesda's press conference is going to be on Sunday, June 11th.
Right, and I looped that in only because Microsoft announced that theirs would be moving to Sunday as well.
Microsoft is Sunday, yes, 5 p.m. Eastern time on Sunday the 11th.
Yeah.
Which is interesting, I think, that Microsoft's moving to Sunday.
Right, so here, because like those slots used to be like iron tightly held, right, which is why... like EA still has one, I guess, even though they don't necessarily do a whole lot with it anymore. But do you think that somebody takes, do you think Nintendo airs their thing in Microsoft's slot instead so that way they don't have to go on Tuesday? Or
maybe, I don't
know. Does another company?
What I'd like to see is Sony move up to the noontime slot so that I don't have to stay up until 11:30 at night on Monday.
Put everything on Sunday, and then I don't have to call in sick that weekend.
Right? There we go. Even better. How about we do all the press conferences that weekend, Saturday and Sunday, and we just call it a day, because I don't really need to watch the EA conference. And so if Ubisoft could just move to Sunday as well, and Nintendo does like their internet thing, so I can watch that on YouTube whenever.
Yeah.
There you go.
Part of this news that I didn't put an article in, it was that they're... E3 itself is selling 15,000 consumer level tickets.
Yeah, they are.
And I got one, so that'll be fun. Oh,
cool.
So they did like there were 14,000 of them were $250, and the first 1,000 were $150. I refreshed my page at 12 p.m. when they went on sale, and I was already number 5,000 in line. So,
wow.
Now I'm not sure if that was everybody buying tickets or just consumer ones, but. I got a $250 ticket, so I don't know. There's no necessarily word on what the consumer stuff entails. They haven't announced besides being able to be on the show floor,
right?
So my hope is that like they kind of loop in like press conference stuff with that too.
Well, I wonder because like a lot of those press conferences are outside of E3 proper too. So
right, but aren't there time slots like given out by the ESA or something like?
I don't know. So, I mean, I assume that like nobody's going to want to go up against Microsoft when, you know, like they have those time slots. But yeah, I don't know if that's ESA done or not because they're all off site. Like,
right, and like I don't know which ones I'll be able to get into or if I'm going to be able to get into any of them. But you know, that would be part of that's like half the reason to go. And then
Sony has a history of letting fans into their conference. So
right. I just wish I knew how that stuff worked. So I could like get on it now instead of having to worry about it.
So you're not being chased around. So, Bethesda, I guess, is having another conference. I don't know what they're going to show because Prey's already going to be out.
Wolfenstein?
Yes.
We hope, right? Like
the new Colossus or whatever they sort of like hinted at last year.
More Wolfenstein in my life.
I bet you they talk about maybe if they announce, like, let's say they do a Doom expansion pack. That seems like something that they could put out later this year.
You would hope that if they do a Doom expansion pack that they are smart about it and that it is single player content.
Right, that's what I mean. I'm talking like Quake expansion pack, like new missions type stuff.
Right, or like kind of like what Wolfenstein did, right, with having the, what was it,
the
Old Blood?
Yeah, the Old Blood, which was like the two ones.
Right, Prey will be out, and then, I mean, I imagine they'll always do something with their MMO, right?
Yeah, the Morrowind expansion comes out for that soon, so.
And who knows, maybe they'll announce another new property, like, you know, I don't know what other studios they.
I'm interested in seeing what they do. So.
Yeah. And then let's see. Hold on. I wanted to make sure there was before we get into. We got two more. Okay. One thing I totally forgot to send you, even though it is kind of big news, was that they're doing us an expansion pass for Legend of Zelda.
Yeah, I did. That was pretty big news. Yeah, $20, two DLCs.
Yes. Then, like, an additional third one, kind of, that, like, if you buy it, it unlocks these chests in the game that give you, like, extra shit.
Yeah, I guess that's, like, immediate, right? Like when...
Yeah. Three treasure chests will appear in the game's Great Plateau area. Okay, so they're not just there if you don't own the DLC, constantly reminding you to buy the DLC.
I hope it's not like a Dragon Age where I don't know if you remember the first Dragon Age, like you would go up and like you would like they would put the character in the game, but then you would go talk to the character and they'd be like, would you like to download the DLC?
Yep.
I don't think Nintendo would do that.
One of these treasure chests contains a shirt with the Nintendo Switch logo that Link can wear during his adventure. That's some Metal Gear ass like plot product placement that I just adore.
But the second DLC is actually going to have new story content, so
that's and a new dungeon.
Yeah,
the first one's kind of lame though, where it's just like hard mode, and then I love this a new feature for the in-game map. What does that even mean? What is a new feature that you sell? Fast travel?
So basically, the season pass is not really a season pass. It's just this expansion in the second DLC.
Yeah,
because hard mode is not something you should be paying for.
Yeah, like they could easily put that in there. But
Dishonored didn't have their hard mode, but they updated it for free. Like, that's the kind of thing you just are like, hey, it wasn't ready.
Right.
I'm not opposed to it, to be honest, though. Like, just them doing DLC for Zelda.
Oh, yeah, no, I'm fine with that.
It's like, I think it would be cool. Like, we'll see how it goes, but, like, right around, like, all. Or holiday time, like all of a sudden there's a new dungeon for Zelda. That'd be cool, dude. Like,
yeah,
there's also a new Mario game. Hour.
Oh yeah, yeah. I mean, we'll have both, and that'll be great.
I mean, it makes sense, I guess, right? Like, though, I guess this is their first big single player game that they've done DLC for.
Yeah, yeah.
Right, because I mean, Mario Kart and Smash Brothers have had it for a while, but like, this could open up new ideas of what like they could do for Mario Odyssey later.
Oh yeah, I mean,
I would love DLC for that. Oh my god,
you're able to go, hey, like if you pay $20, like we're gonna give you more worlds or whatever. That like later on, like it's a full on game. Right now, you don't feel cheated by buying the game, but we'll give you extra missions or something later. That sounds good,
dude. Way more than Zelda DLC. Give me that Mario Odyssey DLC.
Right?
Oh my god.
So the two pieces that I pulled were as Sony is ending PlayStation Now support on just about everything that's not a PC or PS4.
I didn't realize they had it on anything but those other ones, but
it was on a bunch of shit.
I didn't even think about their TVs.
PlayStation 3, Vita, PlayStation TV. All the Bravia TV models from 2013 through 2016, all Blu-ray, all Sony Blu-ray players evidently had it built in that time.
Correct. And I don't know if you know this. Did they discontinue the Bravia line?
I don't know if they did or not, but
I couldn't remember if they were stopping like making TVs or if they were doing something new.
They might. They might have. I don't own a Sony TV, so I don't necessarily keep up. And I don't need a new TV just yet, so I haven't really looked. And evidently it was on some Samsung TV models as well, so...
Huh.
Have any of you guys used PlayStation Now?
No. Is that the one that's like the Netflix-type thing, or...?
Streaming, yeah.
Yeah. Nope.
I know Fozzie was talking about looking into it a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, I think he was like, I think he was all about it, wasn't he?
He was like curious,
he had it.
Yeah.
I thought
yeah.
he had it.
But I mean, like, he has a PS4, so I guess it's not really a problem. But yeah, that it's interesting that they're killing all. Like, the Vita's basically dead at this point. Like, there's, if it wasn't already dead, like, this is, like, another nail in that coffin.
But it's still going to be on PlayStation 4?
Yes.
Okay,
yeah, it'll be on PlayStation 4.
I thought they were killing it outright. Like,
No. 4s and PCs will still have access to
this. Okay. Yeah, just about anything else, though. Like, if you were using it on anything else, which I've never tried. I think I downloaded it on PS3 during the beta phase, but I never actually tried anything because you still had to pay money to do it. That was when it was like a la carte rentals, yeah, which I think you can you can still do that, but now there's also a monthly subscription. And I never ended up trying it because my PlayStation 3 network connection was always shit. It still is, so... But I just found it interesting that they're killing it off. So, and that brings us to the biggest news, I guess, of the week. YouTube sensation PewDiePie. He's been dropped by Disney and YouTube Red for some anti-Semitic videos, I guess, that he's put out.
Yeah, it's okay. So. I I'm going to first off admit that I spent way more time researching this story than it deserves.
Okay.
Because in a week, no one will remember that any of this happened.
Well, I don't know about that.
But
I'm going to go with that. That is an incorrect.
I mean, well, with the way the internet moves, who knows? All it takes is a certain Donald Trump story, and that's the big thing, you know. And it depends on how long he continues to play the victim in this whole thing. But, so it all starts with a Wall Street Journal article that they had done about these 9 videos that he had put out, I think, sometime at the end of 2015 through now, all of which contained Nazi imagery or, like, anti-Semitic phrases or words and stuff like that. Now, just saying that, that sounds pretty bad, right? But the context of most of these clips are, like, under the guise of humor and, like, him just being more of a troll than, like I want to be contrarian and, like, anti-PC culture, so I'm going to make these really poor jokes and ha-ha-ha-ha, the internet will laugh with me and I'll make lots of money.
Which kind of seems to be his shtick, like...
Right. Especially over the past couple of years. Like, I used to watch him back when he did actual gaming videos. And he was a lot more fun then. Now he's just kind of annoying.
Okay.
But I also may have aged out of being interested in him because a lot of his audience is primarily like 14 to 17. And probably some young adults mix in there. I mean, he has a subscriber base of 53 million, right? I mean, he's the largest YouTuber by a margin of 20 million subscribers. But yeah, so he... So the Wall Street Journal sort of frames it as, like, it's complicated. So, like, they do take a couple of clips out of context and are just like, hey, here's this clip of him, like, dressed as Hitler saluting the Nazi flag. But it's, like, a skit that he did about the YouTube Heroes program where, like, it was this program that YouTube was going to introduce where people could, like, help moderate channels and they would gain points and stuff. And like, he was imagining it like becoming overtaken by 4chan and like internet trolls. And
yeah.
Stuff like that.
It's part of a bit and they're taking it out of the context.
Right. There were also a couple of times where like he would pay people on Fiverr to like make videos where they would do things like unroll a sign that just said death to all Jews, or he paid a guy to dress up as Jesus and say that Hitler did nothing wrong. And I get that like, a lot of this stuff is in the vein of comedy. And he, even in his video, he says that he's like trying to be like a junior comedian and stuff. The bigger issue was that like white supremacy sites were getting wind of this and like championing his message. And they're like, he's taking what we want and totally normalizing it to like 50 million people and stuff. He's making it totally cool to like make these kind of jokes and stuff like that. And
right. Which was a lot of the concern with Trump, like, hey, even if you're not like these things, which we think you are, what you're doing is emboldening these actual hate groups.
Right, and pretty much. Yeah, like, you're not telling them to stop, you're not telling them that there's anything wrong in what they're saying, you're just sort of letting them do their shit. And in PewDiePie's case, like, even though he meant it as a joke, there were a lot of people being like, this comedy is normalizing our opinions. Like, the more that he makes these jokes, the more people go, oh, ha, these jokes about killing Jews are totally acceptable. And so, yeah, Disney, I guess he worked for Maker Studios, which is owned by Disney.
Owned by Disney, yeah.
And so the Wall Street Journal ran the article and then I guess went to Disney for comment, and Disney went, what the fuck, and dropped his ass. And then immediately, I guess they went to YouTube for comment, because YouTube on some videos had, like, taken monetization off, on some videos hadn't, and they were like, why are you being wishy-washy about this? And they were like, you know what, we'll just drop them all.
One, and they, like, his show on YouTube Red was also canceled.
Right. Yeah, they dropped him from Google Preferred, which is their family-friendly, like, a better tier for advertising. I guess it's can make more ad revenue that way.
Okay.
Since then, the story has kind of spun greatly out of control. So, like, the Wall Street Journal was basically like, hey, he made these videos that have some of them have, like, these anti-Semitic messages, other of them are jokes. They did take, like, the YouTube Hero one out of context and basically, like, took these clips and sort of made them a little more inflammatory than they were meant. And then, like, the article you have is Polygon that basically has, like, these five articles.
Yeah.
And stuff. And then Wired ran this article, Forbes ran an article, and a bunch of people, like, took the idea of the Wall Street Journal piece and took it in, like, this direction where they were like, hey, he's now a Nazi, and this is his message and stuff. And it was like, no, you idiots. Like, he's not racist. He's just an asshole. Like, there's a, you know, like, he thinks these jokes are funny because he's trying to be anti PC and stuff. And so, and now he's just mad that he got called out on shitty jokes.
Yeah. One of the, it was a Ben Kuchera article, and I don't necessarily agree with his points on a lot of things, but the comments in that article were, some of them were saying, well, you know, it's what he was doing is, you know, satire. It's a lot like South Park and what Cartman does. Like, yeah, but Cartman, like, has a foil of, like, three other kids, and basically Cartman's shtick is he's an asshole and everybody else has to work around him. Like,
right.
And, like, PewDiePie's by himself.
And the weird thing about PewDiePie specifically was, like, he, like, early in his career, I think he's been making videos for 7 years or so, would make a lot of, like, rape jokes and, like, faggot jokes and stuff like that, right? That used to be, like, his shtick. And then over the years sort of realized that they weren't funny, they weren't necessarily appropriate, and he made, like, a huge effort to stop those kind of jokes.
Right.
But then to suddenly, like, and then in his response video, he just goes, I decided 2017 was the year where I was going to be contrarian for the sake of, and, like, go against the anti-PC culture and just, like, work to offend everybody. And I'm like, that A does not equal B here. Like, there was growth as a human being, and then you all of a sudden decided to become a troll again. Like,
right. I mean,
was it money? Like, did he just see that there was, like, with Trump and all that stuff, like there's a huge market for that kind of stuff? Like, that's what I wonder.
And if he is in this to take advantage of that movement, like, that's just as bad. That's just as despicable.
Right. And so, like, and then, like, he put out this whole, like, 10-minute response video where he basically, like, creates this, it's kind of amazingly scary how well he does it, like, forms this conspiracy that the media is out to get him because he's the largest influencer on the internet, and, like, mainstream media hates him because he makes money and stuff. And it's like, no, you just made shitty jokes and they called you out on it. They weren't trying to burn your channel to the ground. They didn't think YouTube was going to ban you all of a sudden. Like, at worst, YouTube would have just maybe taken those 9 videos down. He did take 3 of them down by himself. I'll have you know. them. But to like think that like the media had this crusade to see PewDiePie banned from YouTube is like indicative of such a inflated sense of self importance that blows my mind.
Well, I mean, there's a lot of corollaries to how Trump handles the media, right? Like,
right. I mean, just today, right? He held that whole press conference because he just wanted to talk about how Fox is cool, man, but everybody else is spinning these web of lies about me. And blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, it's like, no, you release these videos. They are, like, you may have thought they were funny, but they're bad. Like there's no getting around them. Like, having some poor, you know, people hold up a sign that says death to all Jews, like, that's not amusing. I don't know. I mean, maybe it is for some people. Like,
oh, well, no, it's amusing to tons of people, mostly, like, white supremacists and people who think that everybody is a fragile snowflake and is offended by everything. And so they're like, yes, let's push the limit as far as it can go. And how he didn't think the rubber band was going to snap back in his face, I don't know.
Yeah, but that's the weird piece.
I also can't believe that Disney or Maker had no idea any of this was going on beforehand, or they just liked the fact that he was bringing in tons of money for them and didn't care until somebody else cared.
That's often the way it goes, though, right? Like, nobody cares about anything until somebody says something. Like,
yeah.
I mean, not to keep tying this back into the shitstorm that is the White House, but like, if the media hadn't kind of made a big deal out of Flynn, he would still be our national security advisor. Like,
right.
Yeah.
Like, he was basically like, oh, and then Trump went out, like, I mean, what was it, yesterday or was it today, where he basically praised Flynn and said, you know, I think the media is treating him really badly, like,
which is great, because wasn't Spicer out there 3 days ago being like, I was asked to resign due to a sense of eroding trust between the president and Flynn.
Yeah, he's saying that, and he's also saying he fired him.
No,
the narrative makes no sense.
Like, dude, if the media is being so unfair, why did you fire him?
Right.
Well, and then like he calls out all the media for portraying fake news, but then also is like, the leaks that they're talking about are illegal and they need to be stopped.
Are they fake or are they actual?
Dude, his answer today was priceless. It was, the news is fake. That's what he said.
Right. Which is amazing, because that actually makes no sense.
That is unbelievable.
It was like the leaks are real, the news is fake.
Yeah. That's literally what he said. That's exact words.
Like, I don't know how you can tie those two.
Yeah, I mean, they are...
Ugh. So, I guess they're leaking fake information? I just don't understand what
No, because then that wouldn't be criminal, right? Like, I guess they would have to actually be
and then the leaks actual would be real, like,
right? Classified information for it to be illegal. And it's... But, yeah, so, like, this whole thing with PewDiePie, like, is... like a nightmare, and like everybody on YouTube, even people I respect, are like, we got to band together against this common enemy that is the mainstream press. And it's like, you all are fucking insane.
Here, like, I can't comment on PewDiePie because I have literally never seen any of his videos. Like, so I haven't seen these videos or any of them. Just, I can't really comment on it because, like, maybe I would have a different opinion because, like, I'm wary of being joke police. Like, I think comedy, you can do any subject matter, but if his videos are terrible, then I'm totally with people saying,
No, they're not. I mean, they're just like, he just, like, his thing about Fiverr was like, let's see how far I can, like, let's see what the craziest thing I can get. I can pay $5 to have somebody do is. And twice he got one, you know, these two kids in Turkey to hold up a sign that just said death to all Jews. And then the other one.
How different is that from Jackass? Really, like,
and that's what people are saying. The problem is like him believing that his words don't have consequences when like white supremacy sites like the Daily Storm are
starting to like endorse him and like see him as some sort of
right.
Right, he's normalizing our message, and like maybe take a look at the political climate and realize that there are a lot of people who won't see you as selling a joke, but that will take you at your word and that you have an audience.
Yeah. I feel like there's a point at which you can still make those jokes, but you can also do whatever it is to make it known that you don't believe that sort of belief.
That's what I was going to ask. Right. I was like, he has not come out and said, like, listen,
so he,
I am
he
not
has.
These motherfuckers at all. Like,
he did. He put, which is funny because he put out, well, first he put out like a post on his blog where he said that he doesn't condone any of this. And then in his video, while blaming everybody else for his problems, also said that he didn't condone this stuff. And like, that's fine, but I don't think that will put an end to any of the problem, because in saying he doesn't do this, he also blames anything that has happened to him on the mainstream media. And so, like, oh, it's these, you know, liberals who always get offended at things, and everybody is just, like, you know, they're fragile, and I want to...
Instead of saying, I really don't want to be endorsed by these people, like, I would, if it were me in his situation, I'd be like, listen, I don't want to be endorsed by these people at all. Like, so, to take that somewhat different stance of, like, that's the PC crowd, like, no, dude, like,
yeah,
right. Like,
I'm
making
jokes. I have nothing to do with these people that believe any of that shit. Like, you know, that's how I would approach it. I would not.
Could have been like, look, be defensive. I made some jokes. They may have been in poor taste. Like, you may have been offended by them. But
let me make it clear.
No circumstances. Like, yeah, like, I have not. Like, I do not endorse what they are saying. I am not part of them.
Right, because, like, Bill Burr, I guess, just had a special on Netflix, maybe, or something, and he had a whole bit about, like, why everybody thinks Hitler is the worst when he only killed single-digit millions of people, while Stalin had killed, like,
double digits. I watched that.
Or something, yeah, and, like, nobody is going on Bill Burr, and that's, like, I think there's a stark difference between those two types of jokes, like, that a lot of people aren't seeing. Like, nobody is saying that. Like, he's not going around being like, Hitler was right, ha-ha, very funny, right? Like, he's just being like, you know, he's almost talking about, like, the culture of history that surrounds them and, like, making fun of that.
He does talk about how, like you should have, like, they should have murdered Hitler as a baby, too, in that, I don't know.
Right, but, like, but what he's not doing is going, like, oh, hey, you know what's really funny? What if Hitler had actually killed all the Jews? What if he was still around today or something like that, you know, like...
Right.
Or, you know, his idea of a skit is not, like, you know, wearing a Trump hat and, you know, saluting a speech of Hitler's from World War II, right? Like, that, those are two totally different...
Is that one of his
That's
bits?
One of PewDiePie's bits.
Oh, my God. He's had, it's like, five or six of them over the past 6 months or so.
Yeah. And so, like... And everyone, and like, unfortunately, I think this is just going to turn PewDiePie into more of this Milo Yiannopoulos type character who, like, just antagonizes people because it makes him popular. And,
right, because, like, his subscriptions have actually gone up since this happened.
Right. And, I mean, that's sort of like the Barbra Streisand effect of, like, the more you try and talk, like, not talk about something, the more popular it becomes.
Yeah.
And, but, like, the thing everybody hates about Milo, right, is that he's a jackass and... like, purposely offends people. Though, in the case of Milo, he has actually, like, done some, like, actual horrible things to people. But everybody, and everyone cries, oh, free speech, you're trying to silence his free speech. And it's like, no.
Well,
that's the government. The government can't do that. We can do whatever we want.
Also, like, he's allowed to say whatever he wants, but there are consequences for what he says. Like,
yeah, people, and you don't have to like it. Sometimes. Like,
right.
Like, me not liking something does not mean I'm taking away your free speech. I'm saying you're a fucking piece of shit.
Right.
I'm saying,
and I'm not
going
to support you.
Yeah.
Right. Like, and I may take my free speech and tell people don't support you either. Like,
yeah.
And that's the consequence of any sort of speech. So, like, he can't just be like, oh, I'm the victim. Like, no, you did these things, and they may offend people.
Right, and like, I don't know at what point he didn't think that working for a billion-dollar company like Disney that making anti-Semitic jokes was totally going to go over well once they found out what was going on.
Oh, sure, we're cool with that.
Right.
Or as you said, I'm sure they knew about it, because, like, this shit's been going on, like...
I'm sure Maker knew about it. I don't know if Disney...
Well, Disney proper probably didn't, but, like... Until like somebody calls them on it, they might not do anything about it because like the guy's still bringing in money for them. But but once that does become public and somebody questions them on it, they're going to try and distance themselves.
Right. I mean, like this happens. Like everybody is like, why do we have to penalize these people? And it's like, well, how many people have we penalized for making racist comments or super misogynist comments? Like there are types of speech that normal people, the general population, are not going to agree with because they're generally thought of as wrong.
Right. It's not just penalizing them. It's business.
Right. Like Disney
does not want to be associated by that. For money reasons.
On Disney's end, like it's like, what are the benefits to keeping our association with them?
Right.
And what is the cost of keeping? Because like, if we keep our association with them and it turns off families, our whole business is built on families.
The optics on that are terrible. Then all the articles are Disney continues to support anti-Semite.
Right. Like whether or not PewDiePie is an anti-Semite, like that's the perception. And like, I think we talked about this before, but in a lot of cases, perception is reality.
But for better or for worse. Yeah.
Right. Now, I'm not saying that it's right, but that this gets out there, like all of Polygon's articles on this are like, anti-Semitic videos. PewDiePie used Fiverr to promote anti-Semitism.
Right, and like from a certain point of view, those are all true. Like, whether it's under the guise of humor or not, those are still anti-Semitic jokes. Like, just because they're jokes doesn't suddenly make
them
different. Racist jokes are still racist jokes. Like,
yeah, like the, I mean, there's no way to spin a sign that says "Death to all Jews" as being anything but anti-Semitic. Like,
right. You know, and I mean, those are really the only business deals that he has to lose, right? And YouTube is never going to like outright ban him for that sort of stuff. You know, they can throttle his ad revenue, but I mean, he's still so big, and he still probably has so many other endorsements that just don't.
Right, and and if you ban him for doing this, like, are you going to really sift through the racist nonsense that like is easily found on YouTube, like from people that have no views, like because you can't just ban him and keep those other things up.
Well, and see that's the thing, right? Because like Twitter banned Milo Yiannopoulos, right? But there are still like Donald Trump still has a Twitter account. Like, I'm not talking like the White House account, I'm talking his own. And or like Breitbart or any of those other things. Like people like pick and choose based on how much like incendiary attention is associated with that nonsense. And which is unfortunate because you think it would just be easy to do a blanket rule. But that's probably too much effort for them.
Well, yeah, and too much trouble because then you start getting into people suing you and.
But like, that's the funny thing is that a company has a right to censor any kind of speech they don't deem like they don't want supported by their brand, right?
So 100% agreed. It just like how many lawsuits are we going to fend off? Like,
well, because but how many of them have any basis in court? That would be my question.
At some point, it doesn't matter when you're paying your lawyer to.
Right, I guess so.
Like that's a lot of times why some of these companies like just settle with some like go the fuck away.
Yeah, that's true.
All right, well, there's PewDiePie. I'm not really a PewDiePie fan. I think I've seen like one or two of his videos. So
yeah, I mean, depending on which playthrough you look at, some of his older stuff is really funny. But yeah, lately he hasn't. He has over the past couple of years been moving away from gaming to like weird ass comedy, and I guess it's working out real well for him.
I guess good for him. I guess hopefully he learns from this. And
I don't think he will. I think his response video was basically, "I want to blame everybody else, and it's Wall Street Journal's fault." I mean, at the end of the video, he literally just like flips them off and is like, "Try again, motherfuckers!" And it's like, you are totally missing the entire point. And yes, some of the other media went too far with it by like labeling you as like a racist and stuff when clearly that wasn't your intent. But the Wall Street Journal article had none of that. The Wall Street Journal article was like, hey, he made these really stupid anti-Semite videos, and places like the Daily Stormer are cheering this on and, like, using him as a gateway to recruit right. more people for white supremacy and stuff. Like, that's the issue.
And to be honest, they don't need any more help.
No. So. You know? Of course, you know, in his response to the, like, to this whole thing is, like, what was it? I saw a quote from him that was, like, the Jews found another way to, like, fuck me up or something like that. Like, he's been making jokes like this stuff for a little while. I'm just like, come on, man. You're not helping your kids here. Like, shut the fuck up.
So next week, Tony and I will hopefully play some Halo Wars.
Halo Wars. Did you get I got the Mega, the $80 version.
Yeah, that's the one I got too. So
have you got?
Jeez, super fans.
What was that, Tony?
I haven't got my code yet for the definitive edition of the original.
I mean, I just paid the money, so I don't know if. Did you buy it from? buy it from Microsoft or?
Best Buy.
Okay.
But they're supposed to like send you a code.
So I bought mine through. Maybe you'll get it tomorrow then, when the game actually releases. Although it should have been earlier than that, right?
Yeah, like it's part. It shows as part of the package on Xbox.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know if mine installed or not. I'll have to check. But I'm looking forward to play that. I hear it is short, though. At least the campaign is so.
Interesting.
12 missions or so. But I'm looking forward to playing it because I really enjoyed the first one. And this evidently takes place after Halo 5, so.
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
So I guess it's continuing that story. Is there anything else next week?
I'm looking at I don't know if anybody's playing Lego Worlds. I mean, that's literally next Thursday, but.
Probably not. Well, I may get a
pop-up message. Halo Wars 2, ready to start. Yeah.
There you go.
That's cool. Because it's funny, because here it says the release date's the 21st, but. Is it like a buy the special edition? You get it early
for Halo. Yeah, if you get the.
Okay. Cool, and I guess you got. Oh, Chris has it. Oh, nope, Tony. It says Tony has the review for that.
Yeah.
Yeah, Tony's doing that. Sweet. That's a strategy game. That's a Tony game. My level of detail on that would be far less than what Tony can give us.
So I don't know why I had the assumption that Mass Effect's release date was in early March, but it's actually the end of March. That's really
upsetting. It's the 17th, right?
21st.
21st.
God damn it.
God, we are in for an awesome couple months.
Yeah.
All the Switch stuff is in 2 weeks. Man, we're going to be real behind the times. Are any of us getting one?
No, I'm getting Zelda, though.
Yeah, I'm probably not going to get a Switch until April, so. Although I was really close, so I was in a GameStop over the weekend, and they, like, you know how they're always like, "Do you want to pre-order anything?" And she's like, "Are you interested in pre-ordering a Switch?" And I was like, "Maybe." and she was like, "Well, I'm waiting on an email from corporate because they're supposed to give me a little bit more allocation." So like. Do you want to wait around? I was like, not really. Because if I do, I will have pre-ordered a Switch. And
right. You don't need that in your life yet.
Nope, not yet. Like, I will be getting one. I don't need it right away. I don't need it on day one.
Yeah.
Even for as cool as it would be.
I just tried to start Halo Wars 2. Needs an update, yeah.
Yeah, buddy.
So it's not ready to go.
Fantastic.
2.8 gigs.
Fucking Jesus. Games 2. In 8 2017. 2.8 gigs won't take long, though.
No. Chris, you are getting Zelda, though, I hope, right?
I am not getting it on the Wii U, no.
No.
I'm gonna get a Switch in April. Like, I can wait a month. And I'll still be playing Horizon.
Yeah, buddy. Oh,
probably.
That's what I'll be playing.
Or Mass Effect.
Right.
By April, yeah.
Yeah.
Nier Automata comes out on the 7th of March, and I might pick that up, but that's a few weeks from now.
But I am looking forward to Zelda, Jeff. I think like that, and I'm gonna, because I mean, there's really not a whole lot going on with the Switch, so I'm gonna get Zelda, and I'll probably get Mario Kart and call it a day.
The hype is slowly creeping up on me. Like,
Jeff, don't
it's
fall for
real.
It.
No, it's dude, right by, it's, no, dude, it's for Zelda. I've not gotten to play any Zelda in like what, 5-6 years?
Like, it's like new, shaking. You know,
and you haven't gotten to play good Zelda in
a decade. Yeah.
Well, I mean, aside from the handheld one, which was phenomenal, but
yeah,
you haven't played good 3D Zelda in a decade. So,
and this one looks, oh my god!
I hope for your sake it lives up to your expectations, because
I don't really have expectations. I'm just excited, like, and it does look cool, but like, I don't know. I'm just excited that it's new Zelda, dude. Like, it's finally here.
Well, I hope it works out that it is good, because I don't know if we can deal with it being bad and you just collapsing on us.
That might be the final mental breakdown.
If Breath of the Wild isn't good, he has Resident Evil to fall back on as his ultimate game of the year, and Mario Odyssey later in the year, so he has support.
There's Mass Effect, Horizon, like there are a lot of games that are looking really good this year, so.
Games as well, so I'll be all right.
Yeah, isn't there something else coming out around June besides that Crash thing?
Splatoon 2, I think, is summer.
Yeah, that's. I thought there was something else.
That's probably when I get my Switch, is when Splatoon 2 comes out.
I don't think so.
I don't think. I thought I heard something in June, but maybe I'm off. Prey is in May.
Praise May, yeah, that's as far out as I'm aware. Obviously, the Crash thing that we just, but I mean, that's not like a huge release, but.
That's July, right? Final Fantasy XII is July.
I think so.
Yeah. Anyway,
right.
There are a lot of games coming out this year, and I think there's a lot of stuff coming later this year too. So.
Yeah, man, E3 is going to be big.
Yeah, it's a Scorpio reveal, and it's gonna be a big year. All right. We will be back next week to talk about some Halo Wars. Jeff, say goodnight.
3%, baby. 3%.
3%. Good night.